Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Keith.
And I'm Tina. Keith, what is all that stuff?
It's everything I need for tonight.
Why do you need all that stuff?
Well, tonight's the chili cook-off at Norton Pines.
I know, but why do you need all that stuff?
Well, because chili isn't the only thing happening. There's going to be swimming, basketball, fellowship. I'm just trying to be prepared.
I see. Well, we want to welcome you to Evanston Avenue this morning.
We're glad you're here with us, and while our ushers are coming down to collect the offering, we have a few things we want to share with you.
Whether it's your first time here or you've been here for ages, there's a place for you here at Evanston.
That's right, and with more info on how you can get connected, here's Daniel. I think I'll set this stuff down, though.
Okay, good, because you're brandishing the spoon at me.
Hi, I'm Daniel. And if you are looking to try something new or get involved again after the break, then we have the perfect next step for you here at Evanston. If you're a kid in fifth grade or below, then you are definitely going to want to check out Bible Times Club, Sunday nights at 6, downstairs with Mr. Darren and his crew. Mr. Darren puts together some really cool activities, games, and Bible studies built just for you guys. You can talk to him to get more information. For everyone in 6th through 12th grade, then you want to head upstairs on Sunday nights at 6 to join Joy and her team for Hype. We have a ton of fun with worship, Bible studies, and some really great adventures. Finally, for you adults, we have a number of ways to get connected with our men's and women's Bible studies and our monthly fellowship dinners. Or, if you want to try something new, you can check out our life groups. So talk to Pastor Matt, Jonathan, or Jeremy for more information. So there you go! No matter where you're at in your journey, there's a next step for you here at Evanston.
You know, Keith, I was looking at the bulletin and there's some really important information in there.
Oh, I know. And when I want to know what's going on with the church, I always check that bulletin. And when I want to get in touch, I fill out that handy connection card.
That's right. I use that card all the time to let the church know when I need prayer or would like someone to contact me.
Well, that's perfect. Why don't you fill that one out and leave it on the pew when you're done? And you all out there can do the same. Or if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
That's not all. The website is full of helpful information and resources.
We post some pretty interesting articles and links there a couple times a week, so you are definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio, slides, and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but first there are a few more things to share with you.
Tonight's the chili cook-off at Norton Pines Fitness Club with Grace Memorial and Grace Assembly of God. Remember, it's from 5 to 8 p.m.
As a friendly reminder, it's $3 a person or 10 a family to help offset the cost of renting the building.
For the junior and senior high, Intersect is coming up on March 16th and 17th. Today is the last day to register, so if you plan on going and have not registered yet, make sure you talk to Joy before you leave.
Also, for the students in grades 3 through 12, the dates for camp are set. For the 9th and 12th graders, camp is July 1st through the 6th.
And for the 3rd through 8th graders, camp is August 19th through 24th. If you plan on going, please register in the church office.
Finally, it may be early, but we need volunteers for VBS. It will be here sooner than we think, and it's never too early to start preparing. If you feel God leading you in this area, please talk to Joy.
All right, that should do it for announcements, so everyone can grab a pen and take out their Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, We Are the Church, with his sermon, The Greatest of These.
Why is the computer with all that stuff? So by prepared, you meant hiding in a corner by yourself. I think we need to have a talk about what it means to fellowship.
I wasn't going to hide in a corner. I was going to be right in the middle with everyone.
No, computer.
But...
No, computer.
Fine. I'll interact with people. Here's Pastor Matt.
So yes, today is the day. We have our chili cook-off. And ultimately what started this whole thing, oh come on down guys, we'll pray for the offering too. what started this whole conversation and this whole event last year when we started this was getting together with a number of pastors and saying, you know what, we don't like winter anymore. Amen? And so we're going to have a winter defiance party. And so that's why we're going to a place where there's a pool so we can pretend we're at the beach. We're going to a place where there's a rock climbing wall so we can pretend we're out, not inside, even though we will be. And of course, we're going to have chili because nothing says the love of Jesus like food that warms you repeatedly. Amen? So that's why we're going to be there. I hope you guys will be there. We're going to have a fantastic time of fellowship. We have at least two other churches. We've actually asked a fourth church this year, New Hope Missionary Baptist, to hang out with us. I don't know if they will be there or not. But one of the reasons we do this is we want to also just celebrate the fact that we are, all of us who call upon Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're all one church. Amen? And so we try to do things like this where we can say, we'll always have things theologically that we differ on. The thing that we unite on is Jesus Christ and good chili. Amen? I mean, not in the same order, just saying that those are two things we have in common. So we're going to celebrate that together. So please join us tonight, 5 p.m. You pay at the door. There's a form you got to fill out. All that will be there. Just bring everything, your food that you're going to share, and your swimmies if you're going to go swimming, and it'll just be a great time of fellowship. So please join us tonight. Let's pray. We're going to come into the Word. We're going to celebrate our just awesome God together. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all the things that you've lavished upon us. We thank you so much that we have the opportunity to fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we thank you for all the ways that you blessed us. And Lord, this morning as we return a small portion of those blessings to you, we ask that you receive them in the spirit with which they are given. Father, use our offerings today to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. Father, as we open your word together, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will move in us and through us, transform us from who we are today, and make us more like you tomorrow. And Lord, as the pastor, I simply ask that any word that is from me would fall to the ground. I ask that every word that is in line with your word would endure forever and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you want to grab a piece of paper, if you want to take notes, there should be one in your bulletin. As always, you can put Acts 17:11 at the top of your page, which is where the Bible tells you to test everything you hear. That includes the preacher, that includes the news, it includes everything. Any message you receive, test it. Amen? Because God's word is what we base our authority on. So that's where we're going to stand together. Now, we're going to be wrapping up our series called We Are the Church. Now, we've been on a fun journey together. We've said that there's this thing called the kingdom of God. The church is a part of the kingdom of God. It's an agency of the kingdom of God that is designed to bring the message of God's grace into the world. So that's been our foundation for this series. We've been talking about how we do that. And ultimately, one of the big takeaways from this series that I want us to have is that the church is not a building. The church is not an organization. The church has those things, but if you want to boil it down, I am the church. You are the church. We, the people, are the church of Jesus Christ. And anytime you read in Scripture about the church doing something, it's you. It's us. We are the church. And that's why we wanted to spend time beginning this year with that kind of squarely in focus. And today, we're going to wrap it all up. We're going to wrap it up with what is the hallmark of the church according to Jesus Christ. This is the thing that he says we should be known for. Now, what's interesting, and most people don't realize this, but John and Paul actually give us what that is. And most of society today, even non-Christians, would recognize that this is a hallmark of life. And it comes to us from John and Paul. Here it is. Which John and Paul were you thinking I was referring to? So, all we need is love. Love is all we need. Okay, so yeah, the Beatles. Now I got to be honest with you. I've been wrestling with this because I'm a music fan. I'm not a huge fan, to be bluntly honest, of the Beatles. I'm really not. I like one song. I like Come Together because it has a great bass line. I'm a bass player. I like the bass line, and you know, that's the only part of it I like. But I've heard people say, all we need is love. And I've heard that, you know, mentioned in so many different ways around society, that love is this high thing that we need. We all need love. That's all we ever need. And I actually sat in preparing for this sermon, I actually sat and listened to the song from the Beatles, thinking that maybe there's some great insight in there. There wasn't. But I checked. I didn't think so. And basically the whole point of the song is you can do anything if you have enough love. And that sounds good. I wish that were true. It's not. But the reason I bring all this up is that we cannot escape the fact that love is the greatest of these. God's word teaches us that. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 that the greatest of these things is love. And Jesus said when he was on the earth that the thing that we, his disciples, will be known for is our love. Amen? That if anyone encounters someone in this world who is loving and sacrificial and just exemplifies the love of Jesus, we should be able to say with confidence, that is a disciple of Christ right there. That is, this thing called love is supposed to be the hallmark of the church. It's supposed to be our defining characteristic. And so often it's the thing that we fail at most spectacularly. Just speaking, not just our church, but just the church in general. We can so often fail to do this thing called love. Now, the Beatles, I think, are talking about a different kind of love. I need to share a little bit about what kind of love we're talking about. Because, again, love is one of those very plastic kinds of words that I can use very interchangeably to say, I love Jesus, I love my wife, I love my kids, and I love pie. And all those statements are true, but obviously there's a different kind of love being talked about with each one. So what do we mean when we're talking about biblical love? And I need to give you a bit of a lesson in Greek. For those who are unfamiliar with Scripture, the Bible that we have in English, and people will say the King James Bible was the original. No, it really wasn't. The original Bible was actually written in two different languages. The Old Testament was primarily written in Hebrew. There's a couple other languages sprinkled in there, but it's mostly Hebrew. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. So here's your Greek lesson as we understand what Jesus is talking about with love. We get to the greatest. Keep going. There it is. That's Greek. That's one Greek word, to be specific. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Greek, you've probably heard this word. You didn't realize that that's how it's spelled. But that's agape. That's what agape looks like in Greek. It's supposed to be A-G-A-P-E. That's literally what it would be spelled like in English. But we use this word a lot, and we use it often, and we say that this is God's love, is this thing called agape love. And that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning, to figure out what does it mean for us to have God's agape love for each other. But in order to do that, I need to tell you something. Agape love does not just mean God's love. We use it that way, and God's love is agape love, but it's not the same thing. God uses this specific type of love, but so do we. And here's how. Check this out. This is from John chapter 3. This is the verdict. We all know John 3:16. This is a few verses later. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people agape'd darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. When it says men loved darkness, that people loved evil, they're using that same word, agape. So when we're saying that we need to have agape love, it doesn't just mean God's love. It has to mean something different than that, because I cannot have God's love for evil. Amen? So it's not really what agape means. What does agape mean? And I want to share this with you so we can have it in the forefront of our minds as we read through our passage of the day. Agape means totally given over to by choice. Agape means I choose to give myself totally to something. That's what agape means. When we're talking about that kind of love, and so when the Bible says that men agape'd darkness, that men agape'd evil, it means that they've chosen to give themselves over to what is evil. And I know this is a total side point. I know that the discussions around the last shooting and all those other things, is it guns, is it mental, all that stuff. Here's what it is, my friends. People are given over to evil. There are people who make the choice to live in the darkness and to be given over to that. And all the other conversations about what caused it and what was, All that's an important conversation to have, but at the heart of it, we know what the answer is, that men and women at times choose evil. They choose to agape evil, to be given over to evil. And I know that doesn't resolve the question, it doesn't make it better. But when we're talking about love, there are times when people love the darkness. So what does that mean for us? Because Jesus had some pretty important things for us to say about this agape kind of love that we want to make sure that we jump into and understand. So for us as the church, what does it mean to have agape love? And I want you to join me in John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. And just to set the stage, John 13 through 16 is a section of teaching that Jesus offered before he was crucified. So if you will, this is the last instructions that Jesus had for his disciples. It actually starts in John 13 with this amazing moment where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And if you check that out, if you go back later and look at John 13, there's this very interesting thing it says. It says that Jesus, to show the full extent of his love, got up from the table and started washing feet. That should tell us something about God's love, about this agape love right off the bat. And then he keeps teaching and he keeps talking, and we get to this section in John chapter 15. I want to read these 17 verses for you, and then we'll unpack it a little bit and understand how we, the church, can have this agape kind of love present in us. And it says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener," Jesus says. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it is even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Some of your Bibles, if you have a slightly different translation, I'm reading from the New International Version, some of your versions would say, "Abide in me as I abide in you." And they both mean pretty much the same thing. Remain in me, stay connected to me, abide in me, rest in me. Those are all things that we could say in that section. "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do some things." Is that what your Bible say? Nothing. Yeah, that's different, isn't it? Apart from me, Jesus says, we can do nothing. Amen? I find that to be true. "And if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Let me put in just a footnote there as we're all going, aha, I have found out the way to get whatever I want. Because that sounds like Jesus the genie lamp, right? Ask whatever you want and I'll give it. Please bear in mind, that comes after we've put God's word in our life. Just saying. If I put this word in my life, it's going to change the things that I ask for. Amen? Just saying. Anyway, it goes on and says, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I have told you this that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, agape each other. Love each other as I have loved you." Agape each other as I have agaped you. Just something for you to tuck away in your mind as we're going through this passage. Why did Jesus have to make it a command? It's not an option. It's not, hey, if you feel good, if you like the person, if they make you feel warm and fuzzy, then show love to them. No, Jesus says, this is a command that I give you. Love each other. Why a command? Tuck that away. Think about that as we're going through. Okay. My command is this: agape each other as I have agaped you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do as I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Agape each other. My friends, this thing, this love that Jesus is talking about is so vital. It is so important for us. And it is so easy for us to mess it up. And so from this passage that we just read, I have four truths that I want to pull out for you that we're going to talk about a little bit this morning so that we can be a church that really does well at showing agape love to each other. Here is truth number one, and that's this: love begins with connection. If we really want to have true, legitimate, agape love, it begins with connection. Look at the beginning of this chapter. I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch. It goes on. Verse number four. Remain in me and I in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. The foundation of the love that we share to each other has to be the connection that we have to one another. And it has to be a connection. It's interesting to me how people will say that they fall in love. I think one of the weirdest ones I've ever encountered in my pastoral ministry was a gentleman who told me that he was madly in love with a certain Christian female pop star. He was in love with her, and she was in love with him. Bearing in mind, they had never actually talked. And he was 20 years older than she was. But he was absolutely convinced that he loved her and she loved him. He was also convinced that she was sending him coded messages through radio, TV, and internet outlets to communicate her love to him that no one else could know about. That's love, amen? No? No. And we're chuckling, and why is that? And yes, please hear me, my friends. This was a gentleman who was in deep distress and had a number of things going on psychologically that we had to deal with. Okay? Let's just be honest. This dude had some problems. But when I start thinking about it, I start realizing that he was really convinced that he was in love with her. And she, although they've never talked, never spoken, there was a 20-year age difference between them, that she was madly, passionately in love with him, even though she had no idea who he was. And it started to dawn on me that part of what he was doing is he had not truly fallen in love with her because there was no connection with her. But yet he was convinced. So what was he falling in love with? I just submit for your consideration, as I did to him, and he didn't receive it well, and that's okay. We got him the help he needed. But I just suggested that perhaps he was not in love with the pop star, but that he was in love with the idea of her. And now we can point to that situation and say he obviously had some psychological problems, there was a deep need, there was significant distress in his life, and all those things would be true. Absolutely true. But I want us to consider this, that for us to truly have God's agape love, we have to have a real, legitimate connection to the person that we show that love to. Otherwise, we are simply falling in love with the idea of that person. And we don't have to be a few Smurfs short of a village to get to that point. We all can do it. If we are married, we can fall not in love with our spouse, but we can fall in love with the idea of what our spouse should be. As parents, we can love our children not for who they are, but we can fall in love with our children for who we think they should be, or who we want them to be, or in other words, the idea of them. And we can fall in love with Jesus, not because we know him, not because we have a connection to him, but because we fall in love with the idea of him. I like the idea of not going to hell. Amen? And if Jesus gets me out of that, sign me up. Have I really fallen in love with Jesus? No. I've fallen in love with the idea of him. My friends, agape love starts with a connection, and it starts with a connection that's honest, because as I think of a parent that loves their children, and they're thinking, my child is so wonderful, and I'm thinking, your child is a screw-up. He needs Jesus, and so do you. I cannot fall in love, not my child, I mean, my children are perfect in all they do, amen? Sorry, bud, my bad. But I need to be able to say that I love whoever. I love my spouse. I love my kids. And I have to be able to honestly see who they are and still remain connected to them. Because that's what Jesus does to us, amen? Jesus does not fall in love with the idea of us. Like, hey, wouldn't it be great if this person was so awesome? Jesus starts with the truth. This person's a sinner. This person is screwed up. I love them. Yes. Jesus begins his connection to us knowing full well who we are. Oh, I should probably tell you one other thing about agape love. Agape love starts. Because as we're talking about love begins with connection, agape love starts the connection. Jesus doesn't wait for us to figure it out. Amen? Jesus says, I'm going to come to them. You know, the end of the passage, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That's not a mistake. Agape love says, I recognize the depth of who you are, good, bad, ugly, evil, perfect, everything about you. And Jesus says, I choose you. Agape love starts. It doesn't respond, it starts. So if we want to be a church that has agape love in it, you cannot get connected to people sitting in your pew. You cannot do agape love right now. All you can do is listen. Agape love gets out of the pew and says, I choose you. I choose you. I know you're junk, and I choose you anyway. I choose to be your brother. I choose to be your sister, even though I know what's in your life. If all we do is sit in the pew, we will never be the church that has agape love. Because agape love does not sit. Agape love gets out. And it starts saying, I choose you. And part of being this church means that I've chosen you and you've chosen me. It means that you've chosen each other. And when we stand up to say, I welcome this person into membership, it's not an accident that we all do that together. Because you're saying, I choose that person. I choose their mess. I choose their garbage. And I choose to love them anyway. That's my choice. That's what it means to be part of this church. Agape love is a connection that starts. We can never forget that. We want to reflect God's love. That's it. That's how we start. Here's number two. Love changes behavior. If you truly have a connected agape love, you cannot love that person and remain the same in your behavior. And we know this. Anyone who has been married knows your behavior changes when you fall in love. Amen? Radically so. Guys do silly things. We buy dead flowers and give them to somebody pretending they're alive. Because that makes sense. Here, these are dead. I got them for you. Aren't they beautiful? They'll be dead soon. Goodbye. So, it really is a weird habit that we have at Halloween, isn't it? Love changes behavior. I know this to be true. My behavior changed the moment that I met Becky. We got the video? Oh, good. I actually found the video footage of the moment when I first met Becky. So I'll show you how my behavior changed. Jackson, if you please. Hang on, I'm coming up. There I am. Yep, that's pretty much the expression. Yeah. Yep, just like that. Love changes behavior, my friends. If I'm truly connected with agape love to something else, to another person, that love will change my behavior. Romantic agape love radically changes behavior. Parenting agape love changes behavior, amen? If I were to say to you, hey, for the next 3 months, you're going to get up every 2 hours to deal with someone who's screaming their head off. Who wants to sign up? No, nobody. But yet as parents, how often isn't that our life when we have a newborn child? And we just go, it's okay. You know why? I love that little kid. It changes behavior, my friends. And if we look at God's word, we look at chapter 15, verse 9, it says, as the Father has agape'd me, so I have agape'd you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And so there's this thing that if I'm truly connected to Jesus with an agape love, my behavior will change. If my love with Jesus is sincere, I can't not stay the same. Yeah, okay, I got enough negatives in there. Yeah, there we go. I have to change. And I love it because so often we as Christians, we get a bad rap because of the commands, because of the laws. But check this out. One of the reasons God gave us these laws is not to ruin our lives. It says, I have told you this so that your joy, or my joy may be complete and your joy may be complete. God wants our behavior to change, to be in line with his will and his word. Not because he hates us, not because he wants to ruin our fun, but because he loves us and he wants the measure of our joy to be complete. And as my behavior changes, as it becomes more in line with God's word, the joy that I feel increases. Love changes behavior. It has to. So if I want to look at it and I want to measure how my relationship with Jesus has grown, I look back on what behaviors have stopped and started. That's one good indication of that. Okay. So here's the third truth of agape love. Love is reflected. I don't know if you realize this, but chances are good that when you first got married, if you're married, when you first have kids, if you have kids, if you're not in either of those categories yet, just wait. It's coming. But chances are good, if you're married or if you have kids, you relate to your spouse and you relate to your kids the way that your parents related to each other and related to you. Why is that? And yes, psychology has a lot of helpful insights, blah, blah, blah. That's all great. But here's part of the reason that we see is when we love someone and we're connected to them, check this out, as you love someone and as you're connected to them, if you're connected to them long enough, you will eventually reflect that love to other people. Okay? If you're connected with agape love to someone long enough, you will eventually reflect that love to other people, and we see that in Scripture. Chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chose you and appointed you to bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in his name. This is my command. Love one another. And what Jesus is saying is that as he has been in relationship, as he's been in agape fellowship with his Father, he has reflected that love to his people. I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Because the relationship that we have with Jesus and the relationship we have with his Father has changed because of that agape love. And now he is saying, go and reflect that love to each other. Love reflects. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We are expected to reflect the love that God has for us, the love that we have for him, to each other. Love is reflected. And here's the good news, my friends, because when I look at my Father, when I look at the relationship that I had with him and the relationship he had with my mom, I see a lot of things that I don't want to reflect in my life. So just by way of encouragement, here it is. I can learn how to reflect a different kind of love. I can look to my Father in heaven, and I can invest in that connection with my Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, and I can learn to reflect a different kind of love. Amen? Love is reflected. And if you don't like the way that your love reflects into others, then change who you're connected to. Now, I've got one other truth to share with you guys this morning before we're done. And if you've been following in Scripture, you realize I skipped an entire section because our first point, that love comes from connection, was from the first section of this text that says that, you know, abide in me as I abide in you. And then talking about how the fathers love me, now remain in my commands, that's talking about love changing behavior. But we missed this middle section. I want to come back to it for just a second. It starts at verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. And here it is. Check it out. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, I love that. But here it is. Check this out. A lot of times as Christians, we kind of look at that and we go, aha, I've got it. My job is to bear fruit. Amen? Not quite. Not quite. We're supposed to have fruit in our lives. We can't help but bear fruit, good or bad. But here's the deal. I can't, that's not my job. My job is not to bear fruit. My job is to be connected. Because if you read the text with me, the fruit is automatic. The fruit is automatic. Whatever or whoever I'm connected to produces fruit in my life, because the final principle of love is this, is that love bears fruit. Love produces fruit. And when I look at my life and I see the fruit that's coming out of it, good, bad, or ugly, then it gives me an indication of who I'm connected to. So you can't choose the fruit you bear. All you can choose is who you're connected to. And the fruit follows automatically. I was trying to think of a way to illustrate this and to let you know kind of what it looks like to have a life as a Christian that bears that kind of fruit. Because I look at my life and I see, yes, there's good fruit, and yes, there's bad fruit, and I want more good fruit and less of the bad, and I'm never going to hold myself up to you as the person who is getting this right all the time. I can't. I'm still figuring stuff out. So I was just trying to find, you know, who would be somebody that we could look to as a human, you know, because Jesus, of course, is the perfect example, but as one of us, as a fellow human, whose life bears significant fruit, who has remained connected to the Father. I found this. It's about 6 minutes long.
The moment you read in the paper that Billy Graham is dead, you'll know that he's more alive than he's ever been before, and I'm in paradise. And I'm looking forward to it.
The mark he made for the gospel, for the good news, for Jesus, is unprecedented. What a life well lived.
Well, he was one of the most important Christian evangelists who ever drew breath.
Now, you can't change your past, but Christ can change your past.
I can only imagine.
God, I'm certain, is with me. And when I come to the moment of death, I believe that at that moment, there's going to be an angel that will take me by the hand and usher me into the presence of the Lord. What it will be like. And I'm going to be in his presence, and it's going to be the most peaceful, the most wonderful, the most thrilling moment when I walk that I have ever experienced. By
your side. God has sent me out as a warrior. I can only imagine on the five continents to preach the gospel. What my eyes will see
when your face. That's the way to God, is through Jesus. Is before me.
I can only imagine. When you go home tonight, you don't go alone. Christ goes with you. He loves you. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I say hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I think he's part of our history. He was the spiritual conscience of our country.
Thank you for the integrity of a man who backed it up in every kind of a way.
Let's talk about 9/11 first. 2001, you're in the White House. What happened, Carl?
Well, Tim Gagline and Matt Smith, two of my deputies, were in charge of the service at the National Cathedral, and they suggested that Billy Graham be asked to participate, and he readily agreed. The difficulty was we had to get him to Washington, D.C., and on that morning of that service, one civilian aircraft was in the skies above the United States.
We should remind everybody that aircraft had been grounded all across the country at that point.
One civilian aircraft is in the skies above the United States, and it bears Billy Graham.
He died on the cross so that all the sins you've ever committed, all the things you've ever done wrong, are forgiven. What do you have to do? You have to repent of your sins.
I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
This is a joyful, godly man. I want to just say thank you, God.
I can only imagine
that you blessed this generation with a man whose heart was sold out to you.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all?
Gospel in the U.S. without the name Billy Graham coming up.
He didn't stop with his generation.
I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you.
There's been nobody like this man, probably ever in the history of mankind. And to watch people respond to the message, pretty overwhelming every single night.
I can only imagine.
I would like to be remembered as a person who was faithful to God and faithful to my call and did it with integrity and with love.
I'm going to ask you to do something that we've seen thousands of people do all over the world. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment tonight to be sure that you know Christ and that you're ready for eternity.
Now, just so that there's no confusion, we're not here to worship Billy Graham, amen? But I just submit him for your consideration. Because when he said in the clip towards the end that he wants to be remembered as someone who loved God, was faithful to his call, was a man of integrity, if you want to boil all that down, he is someone who maintained his connection. And look at the fruit that his life bore. I don't know if the next Billy Graham is in this room. I'm reasonably certain he's not me. But I do know that each of us, as we remain connected to our Father in heaven, as we remain in his love, as we reflect that love to each other, we will bear much fruit. I don't know if it'll be the same fruit that Billy bore, but it'll be the fruit that glorifies God. And here's what's great. As wonderful as Dr. Graham's ministry was, guess what? He got the same greeting that every faithful person gets. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's my prayer, that I'll hear that. May that be our prayer as well. Let us pray. Father, as we seek to be the church that loves you and stays connected to you, Father, as we seek to be the church that builds agape love connections to one another, Father, I ask that we bear much fruit for your glory. Father, I pray that the love that we have for you and that the love that we reflect to each other will communicate to the world around us that there is something here, there is something in the walls of Evanston Avenue Baptist Church that the world around us needs, and that's the love of their Father in heaven. So, Father, we wish to stay connected. We wish to bear much fruit to your glory. Father, show us how we can be initiating, we can be starting your love, the love that chooses, honestly, the people around us. So Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you that you loved us first and chose us before we could ever choose you. And so Father, we just ask that you accept our worship, that we celebrate you, our connection. You're the one that loved us. It's you alone that saves us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we sing,
my hope is built on nothing less.
Is built on nothing less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest praise, but only Christ alone.
darkness seems to hide his face.
When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy air, my anchor holds within the bay. My anchor holds within the bay. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak faith strong, in the Savior's love, through the
that is set before us. Lord, we thank you for lives of example to show us how to do things, Lord. God, we ask this morning that you would be first and foremost in our hearts, that we would know that you are our cornerstone, and it is only through you that we can accomplish the great task before us. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Amen. Amen. Build your kingdom here, Lord. Let that be the cry of our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Come, shake your rule and ring in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray.
friends, if we really want to make the darkness fear, let's not let anyone stand alone. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and in all things be merciful unto you. And may he give you peace. Amen. If there's anything we can pray with you about or for you about, if you have any questions, I'll be up front along with some of the rest of us. But in the meantime, go in peace. We'll see you tonight, 5 p.m. in Norton Pines for an amazing time of fellowship. In the meantime, go in God's peace.